Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. This is Nicole. You are listening to PGN, Prophetic Grace Network. I want to thank you for being with me and with us today. Today on PGN, Prophetic Grace Network, this is Secrets Revealed. Understand the Book of Revelation from start to finish. Our focus in the month of May, so every program for this month, May of 2024, focuses on analysis and discussion of the seven plagues prophecy. Today, I want to share with you what I believe is compelling proof that when the wrath of God is unleashed on this present earth, believers, in other words, those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, those who Jesus Christ referred to as the good fish to be kept in the Book of Matthew, those referred to as the wheat who will be gathered up at the time of harvest, those referred to as the sheep who hear his voice and another's voice they will not follow, this is the same group of people we're going to see today. I believe that you will agree with me, compelling proof that indeed believers are not appointed to the wrath of God, and the location and activities of this group of people, those who are in Christ, that location is revealed. So let us get to it. I want to encourage you that if you have a prayer request or you have a comment on the Book of Revelation, maybe you have a question, I'm here to hear from you. I'm here to pray with you. I'm here to listen so we can unlock these secrets in the Book of Revelation. So, again, let's get started. Feel free to raise your hand at any time if you are listening via telephone, 1-319-527-6027 is the phone number you can use. Press 1 to raise your hand in the virtual phone queue. So we're focused on where are believers during the wrath of God on this present earth. So let's begin with this. You have to know this secret in order to be clear. You have to know this secret in order to be clear. So there's the wrath of Satan described in the Book of Revelation, and there's the wrath of God. So there are two distinct wraths described in the Book of Revelation as well as elsewhere in the Bible. There's the wrath of Satan. That's the Great Tribulation. In contrast to the wrath of Satan, which is a time of great distress for who? Is it a time of great distress for the children of Satan? Of course not. The wrath of Satan is a time of great distress for the children of God, those who are Team Jesus. In contrast, the wrath of God is a time of great distress for those who are Team Satan, the children of Satan, those who have taken the mark of the beast, the mark of the Antichrist. So our focus today is getting absolute clarity on the reality that the wrath of Satan is something for Christians to endure, and the wrath of God is something for the children of Satan to endure. Now, let's talk about the timeline, and let's go to the scripture. To begin, the Great Tribulation precedes the seven final plagues. So the Great Tribulation is the wrath of Satan. It's described in many places in the book of Revelation. My favorite place to look at the Great Tribulation is the 666 Antichrist prophecy, Revelation chapter 13. It's also described in Revelation chapter 12, the 1,260 days prophecy. The Great Tribulation comes first, and it is the wrath of Satan. Let's take a look at it briefly so we can get this timeline very clear, crystal clear in our minds, and how we get clear on it as we go straight to the book of Revelation itself. Revelation 13, we're looking first at the wrath of Satan. Now, I hear Christians say many times, and it's absolutely true, believers, we are not appointed to the wrath of God. But be clear, the Great Tribulation is not the wrath of God, it's the wrath of Satan. It's the rule and reign of Satan's agent on this present earth, the Antichrist, as well as his partner in crime, the false prophet, the final pope. Now let's take a look at the 666 Antichrist prophecy, which confirms, which reveals, which communicates the reality that Christians are appointed to the wrath of Satan. So Revelation chapter 13, let's first hear what the instruction is for Christians during the Great Tribulation. So Revelation chapter 13, verse 10 says, this means that God's holy people must endure persecution patiently and remain faithful. Now, we're going to look at this prophecy in its entirety, but let's hear this instruction, because Revelation chapter 1 says that there's a blessing on all who hear the words of prophecy in the book of Revelation and who obey its instruction. So many prophecies in the book of Revelation contain an instruction. Here's the instruction in the 666 Antichrist prophecy. It says, again, this is the last part of verse 10, this means that God's holy people must endure persecution patiently. How patiently? 42 months. Now, note that it doesn't say Satan's unholy people must endure persecution, or those who belong to this world must endure persecution, or those who take the mark of the beast must endure persecution. No, no, no. It says this means that God's holy people must endure persecution patiently and remain faithful. So our instruction is to endure any persecution that comes, and it surely will. Now, persecution will not be consistent across the earth. Those who live in nations that are dominated by Islam, where beheading is common, and that's a part of their practice for people who break Sharia law or other laws that they have in place, those places will likely see Christians enduring more persecution than perhaps we'll see in nations, other nations, right? But in any case, let's hear in its entirety, the 666 Antichrist prophecy, what's the prophetic timeline? The Antichrist declares that he is God. He's going to stand in Israel, in the third temple, which is very shortly to be rebuilt, where the ashes of the 10th red heifer that we believe now, one of the four red heifers that remains red, one of those four red heifers that's in Israel today right now is likely to be the 10th red heifer. The ashes of that red heifer will be used in ceremonies performed by the Jewish priests in the new temple, which will shortly be rebuilt. That's the third temple. So what's the prophetic timeline? Once that temple is rebuilt, very shortly thereafter, the Antichrist is going to stand in that rebuilt temple, and he's going to say, hey, my fellow Jews, hey, other people of the world, you don't need to have these sacrifices anymore. You don't need to worship in this place anymore. I am here. I am God. So he's going to demand that Jews stop doing the animal sacrifices. He's going to declare that he is God. This is revealed in the book of Daniel. Now, how long is all this going to last, and what does it mean for Christians? That's what we're looking at right here. We want to be clear about what is the wrath of Satan and what is the wrath of God. So the wrath of Satan is when his agents, the Antichrist and the false prophet, for 42 months, they have a reign of terror on this present earth. Now, the terror that comes from the Antichrist and from the false prophet, the final pope, that's different from the terror that comes from God, the seven final plagues. It comes first. Now, let's hear it. Revelation chapter 13. Verse 5, let's start there. It says, then the beast, this is talking about the Antichrist, was allowed to speak great blasphemies against God, and he was given authority to do whatever he wanted for 42 months. Let's pause there for a second. So there is a seven-year period, but the actual time of persecution that we, as those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, as believers, the time of persecution for us to endure, it's not 7 years. It's 3.5 years. It's 42 months. So that's revealed here in Revelation chapter 13. It's also revealed in Revelation chapter 12. There it's noted as 1,260 days. And it's also revealed in the book of Daniel as a time, times, and half a time, 3.5 years. So here it says, then the beast, that's the Antichrist, was allowed to speak great blasphemies against God, and he was given authority to do whatever he wanted for 42 months. So John the Revelator is watching in heaven a documentary about the Great Tribulation. So he actually sees moving pictures with sound about realities that are our near future. They were in the distant future for John, but in our near future, and he wrote down everything he saw and heard. So because he was watching it as a documentary, he's talking about these things as if they happened in the past tense. So he says, then the beast was allowed to speak great blasphemies against God. So this has already happened in our future because God is omniscient. He's all-knowing. All of time exists within God, and he's in time and outside of time. So the angel of the Lord was appointed to show John the Revelator these documentaries, these visions, moving pictures with sound. So these weren't visions he caused himself to have. These are real documentaries that he watched as he stood in heaven. So again, then the beast was allowed to speak great blasphemies against God, and he was given authority to do whatever he wanted for 42 months. Now, what happens during this wrath of Satan? What happens during the wrath of Satan? That's what we're talking about, and then we're going to the wrath of God to focus on where are believers during the wrath of God. So during the wrath of Satan, it says, he was given, that's the Antichrist, authority to do whatever he wanted for 42 months. And he spoke terrible words of blasphemy against God, slandering his name and his dwelling, that is, those who dwell in heaven. And the beast was allowed to wage war against God's holy people and to conquer them. Now, this is very important. I perceive that the Bible is very clear that the first resurrection, in other words, the rapture, is post-tribulation. Now, if you are unclear about the reality that the Great Tribulation is the wrath of Satan, then confusion can emerge. But let's be clear, it says, and the beast, talking about the Antichrist, was allowed to wage war against God's holy people. This is very clear. Now, when is the beast waging war? Well, we heard in verse 5. Now we're in verse 7. In verse 5, it said he was given authority to do whatever he wanted for 42 months. Now in verse 7, it says, and what else does he do? And the beast was allowed to wage war against God's holy people and to conquer them. And he was given authority to rule over every tribe and people and language and nation. What does this mean? He has legitimate authority. Governments will have yielded sovereignty in written agreements that permit the Antichrist to exert some level of authority legitimately. Legitimately, he will have that authority. And verse 8 says, and all the people who belong to this world worshipped the beast. Now, authority doesn't mean absolute authority, but we're clear. It says, and he was given authority to rule over every tribe and people and language and nation. So some people have speculated about how is this going to happen. For example, I've heard some say, well, the UN is going to increase in power, or nations will yield member nations of the United Nations will give the United Nations more power, and all nations will become members of the United Nations. Right now, not every country is a member of it. Others have argued that this or that world organization will be the instrument used to endow the Antichrist with power over every country, every nation that exists on this present earth. The Bible doesn't tell us exactly how it's going to happen, but it's very clear that it is going to happen. Now, verse 8 says, and all the people who belong to this world worship the beast. They are the ones whose names were not written in the book of life that belongs to the Lamb who was slaughtered before the world was made. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Anyone who's destined for prison will be taken to prison. Anyone destined to die by the sword will die by the sword. This means that God's holy people must endure persecution patiently and remain faithful. So, what does that mean? If we are instructed to endure persecution patiently and remain faithful, that means that God is going to equip us to be able to do that. That means that we can accomplish this. We can endure persecution patiently during the great tribulation, during the wrath of Satan, because God has instructed us to do so, and that means he will equip us to succeed at everything he's called us to do. Hallelujah. Now, what else is going to happen during the wrath of Satan? So we heard about some of the activities of the Antichrist during the Great Tribulation. He's going to wage war against Christians. He's going to conquer some Christians. He's going to blaspheme the name of God. He's going to slander heaven and all of the believers and angels who dwell in heaven. Now, what about the other agent of Satan during the Great Tribulation, the false prophet, the final pope? What's he going to be doing during the wrath of Satan? So the Antichrist has his marching orders, his activities during the wrath of Satan, and the false prophet, the final pope, has his activities that he will be performing during the wrath of Satan. Let's hear it. We're continuing. Verse 11 says, then I saw another beast come up out of the earth. So this is talking about the false prophet. It says, he had two horns like those of a lamb, but he spoke with the voice of a dragon. So he appears to be like the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. He appears to be a man of God, but in fact, he speaks with the voice of a dragon, and we know from Revelation chapter 20 that the dragon is Satan. So he's speaking the voice with the voice of Satan, the words of Satan. Verse 12 says, he exercised all the authority of the first beast. So he has the same authority as the Antichrist. Then it says, and he required all the earth and its people to worship the first beast. That's the Antichrist, whose fatal wound had been healed. So the false prophet, the leader of the one world religion, the harlot church during the Great Tribulation, the false prophet, the final pope, is going to say that the Antichrist is, in fact, God. And he's going to, it says, require all the earth and its people to worship Antichrist. What else is he going to do? Verse 13 says, he did, talking about the false prophet, the final pope, he did astounding miracles, even making fire flash down to earth from the sky while everyone was watching. So the final pope is going to perform amazing miracles. The Bible says the final pope is going to perform astounding miracles. He's referred to here as another beast. It says, and with all the miracles, another beast, that's the false prophet, he was allowed to perform on behalf of the first beast, the Antichrist. He deceived all the people who belong to this world. Now notice this. It says he deceived all the people who belong to this world. So in the book of Revelation, people are divided into two categories. One, the people who belong to this world, and two, those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So Christians are those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and the people who belong to this world include those whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. These are people who are headed for the great white throne judgment. Let's continue. The rest of verse 14 says, he ordered, talking about another beast, that's the false prophet, that's the final pope. It says, he ordered the people to make a great statue of the first beast who was fatally wounded and then came back to life. So at some point, the Antichrist is going to be fatally wounded. He's going to come back to life, which is going to be amazing. That's reported earlier in chapter 13, here in the 666 Antichrist prophecy. The false prophet is going to commission a great statue of the Antichrist. Now, this reminds us of something we've heard in Daniel, right? Remember, King Nebuchadnezzar had a great statue made of him, and people had to worship the statue of King Nebuchadnezzar. So, you know, Satan is a liar. Satan is a liar. He has essentially the same repertoire that he uses across time in an attempt to deceive people, to pull those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life from eternal life to eternal damnation, which is where he's going for eternity. But those of us who are in Christ, we will not be deceived. Now, what does it say here? He ordered the people to make a great statue of the first beast who was fatally wounded and then came back to life. He was then permitted to give life to this statue so that it could speak. Then the statue of the beast commanded that anyone refusing to worship it must die. This is the same thing that happened with King Nebuchadnezzar. When with the great statue, people had to worship it. The statue of Nebuchadnezzar, when the musical instruments played, and if they didn't worship it, they were to die. Now, verse 16 says, he required everyone, small and great, rich and free, rich and poor, free and slave, to be given a mark on the right hand or on the forehead. And no one could buy or sell anything without that mark, which was either the name of the beast or the number representing his name. Wisdom is needed here. Let the one with understanding solve the meaning of the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. So this appears to say that the leader of the one world religion, the harlot church during the Great Tribulation, he's going to be the person that tells everyone, you need to get the mark of our God, who of course is no God at all. The Antichrist is no God at all. He is an agent of Satan. He's headed for capture and defeat at the Battle of Armageddon. Then he's going straight to court. That's reported in Daniel. Then he's going into the lake of fire with the false prophet. But during the Great Tribulation, they are going to do amazing things. And it says right here, the another beast that's talking about the false prophet, he's going to require everyone to take the mark of the Antichrist. That's a counterfeit mark on either the right hand or the forehead. And you'll need to buy, you'll need the mark of the beast. Actually, you don't need the mark of the beast. Never take the mark of the beast. But those who want to buy and sell in the economy of the one world government, they need the mark of the beast. But hallelujah, there's an alternative economy that folks can be a part of, the economy of God. Hallelujah. The economy of God is going to support those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life during the Great Tribulation. Again, verse 10 of chapter 13 says, this means that God's holy people must endure persecution. Endure means to experience it over time. You experience something over time. You endure. You go through something that is difficult. Endure persecution patiently and remain faithful. Now, endure persecution will mean that some will not make it. Christians who live in Muslim nations, I believe, are likely to lose their lives during the Great Tribulation. Some who live in nations where there's true Christianity will also lose their lives, but there will be many Christians who will not. We know that from elsewhere in the Bible, where it says not everyone's going to die, because those of us who are here at the end of this 42 months, we're never, ever going to experience the first death. We're going to transition from mortality to immortality. This is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Those of us who are here at the time of the second coming of Jesus Christ, that which is after this 42 months, we'll never, ever die. We're simply going to transition from mortality to immortality. Now, let's go back to this 42 months, though. It says, and no one could buy or sell anything without that mark. Now, what does that mean? No one will be able to buy or sell in the one world economy without the mark of the Antichrist, which the false prophet will command everyone to get. Wisdom is needed here. Let the one with understanding solve the meaning of the number of the beast. That's the Antichrist. For it's the number of a man. His number is 666. So there are two beasts described here in Revelation 13. The first is the Antichrist. The second is the false prophet. And, of course, in Revelation 20, Satan is also referred to as a beast, the beast that will come up out of the bottomless pit after he's been in there 1,000 years. So take-home point, it's very clear that us believers, we will be here during the Great Tribulation because it's a time of Great Tribulation for who? God's holy people. Who does the Antichrist wage a war against during this 42-month period? Revelation 13 says, and the beast, the Antichrist, was allowed to wage war against God's holy people and to conquer them. Hallelujah. Let's go briefly to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I want to demonstrate to you, I want us to see the absolute proof in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 that there are some believers who will endure the entire Great Tribulation. So in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it says, we tell you this directly from the Lord. We who are still living when the Lord returns will not meet him ahead of those who have died. We tell you this directly from the Lord. We who are still living when the Lord returns will not meet him ahead of those who have died. So some of us will endure the entire 42 months patiently with persecution And what's going to happen after the end of the 42 months? It says, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. First, the believers who have died will rise from their graves. Then together with them, this is about those of us who are going to endure the entire 42 months, then together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever. So encourage each other with these words. So our point, the point that I want to make to you is that some Christians, many of us will endure the entire 42 months of the Great Tribulation, and God will equip us to do that. We will participate in an alternative economy, the economy of God. Now, we've heard about the 42 months. Let's hear in the book of Revelation about the first resurrection, which happens after the 42 months. So right now we're in Revelation 13. Let's go to Revelation 14. Talks about many things. There are two prophecies in Revelation 14. But I want to take us to the part of Revelation 14 in the earth rate prophecy where the first resurrection is noted. So let's go to Revelation 14. So what is the timeline? We endure for 42 months the Great Tribulation. After the Great Tribulation has ended, that's the wrath of Satan. It's 42 months. Jesus Christ is going to return for the purposes of the first resurrection and to fight and win the battle of Armageddon. So the first resurrection is the marriage of the Lamb and the marriage supper of the Lamb refers to God's cleanup plan for the aftermath of the battle of Armageddon. So at the beginning of the return of Jesus Christ, there's the marriage of the Lamb, and then there's the battle of Armageddon, and there's the marriage supper. But let's go back. Let's take this one step at a time. The Great Tribulation has just happened. We've endured just as God has commanded us to do. In the book of Revelation, we've endured those 42 months of persecution patiently as believers in Jesus Christ. Then what happens? Revelation 14. Revelation 14, verse 14 says, then I saw a white cloud, and seated on the cloud was someone like the Son of Man. So notice Jesus Christ is referred to as someone like the Son of Man in several places in the Bible. It says, then I saw a white cloud, and seated on the cloud was someone like the Son of Man. He had a gold crown on his head and a sharp sickle in his hand. Then another angel came from the temple and shouted to the one sitting on the cloud, swing the sickle, for the time of harvest has come. The crop on earth is ripe. Let's pause there for a second. Now, you have to know this secret in order to understand the scripture. So there's the harvest of the wheat and the tares described in Matthew. The harvest of the wheat and the tares. This refers to what ultimately happens to those who are in Christ and those who are not in Christ. So the tares are allowed to continue. The tares are allowed to continue to grow. So some translations refer to the tares as weeds. Some say tares. So the whole earth is God's field, is God's garden, if you will. And the purpose of the earth is to yield a crop of what? A crop of people, God's forever family. So that's the point of this whole experience that we call life on earth, to yield to God, to produce his forever family. Now, those who are children of Satan, not in God's forever family, they are the weeds. They are the tares. Okay, so some translations refer to them as tares, some as weeds. But talking about the same thing, all of us who are God's children, who are going to participate in the first resurrection, that's the marriage of the Lamb, where we put on our incorruptible bodies, just like the one Jesus Christ has, he promises we're going to get a body, a peak performance, glorified body, 100% free of DNA errors, an eternal body, an immortal body. This is the evidence that we're going to have eternal life. Once you put on your glorified, perfected, immortal body, after the great tribulation, you're going to have that body forever. You're going to dwell in that body in multiple locations, including this present earth as well as the new earth. Now, we must understand that the harvest refers to when God finally gets, the crop is ready, God is going to finally get his forever family. So his forever family includes all of the believers who are in heaven. Right now they're in a heavenly body. They're disembodied spirits. What does that mean? They don't have a tangible physical body that can eat fish like Jesus ate when he rose from the dead in his glorified body. They don't have a body suitable for habitation on this present earth. They're in heaven. Why are they in heaven? Because they await the timing of the marriage when they can get their new body. Just like we on this present earth, we await the time of the marriage so we can get our new body. Now, this is it, Revelation 14, verse 15. After the great tribulation is the first resurrection. Now, what happens? Then another angel came from the temple and shouted to the one sitting on the cloud. So he's shouting to Jesus Christ, swing the sickle, for the time of harvest has come. The crop on earth is ripe. So the one sitting on the cloud swung his sickle over the earth, and the whole earth was harvested. Now, this refers to the harvest of the wheat. So this refers to Revelation chapter 14, verses 15 and 16, the first resurrection, marriage of the Lamb. Now, after this, in this chapter, there's a discussion about the harvest of the weeds and the tares. I'm going to leave that for another time because my focus is on you. What is happening to you? Where are you during the first resurrection? And what is the timing of that for you? So the great tribulation happens. Many of us Christians will endure it in its entirety, but let's say you endure it for only 30 days. Well, if you die after 30 days due to beheading, the first 30 days of the great tribulation, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord for those who die in Christ. So that earth suit gives out, your first earth suit. Then you go to heaven immediately as a disembodied spirit, your soul intact, your spirit intact, and then you're in heaven waiting. You're in heaven waiting, according to Revelation chapter 6. You're in heaven waiting until Jesus Christ returns to avenge your death during the Great Tribulation if you die due to beheading, as described in Revelation 20, right? If you die due to persecution. Now, again, not everyone's going to die due to persecution. Now, we've just talked about the reality of the first resurrection described in Revelation 14. Now, let's go to the proof. Let's go to the proof of the wrath of God and the reality that during the wrath of God, which happens after the first resurrection, every believer is going to be in heaven. Hallelujah. Let's go to Revelation chapter 15. When God revealed this secret to me, you know, you can read something in the Bible 100 times, and at time number 101, God can unlock an awesome secret for you, something that was there all along, but you never perceived it. That's exactly what happened to me. I had read this chapter many times, and all of a sudden, God unlocked this amazing secret for me so that I can share it with you and all who are truth seekers. Now, Revelation chapter 15, verses 1, 2, and 3. 1, 2, 3, and 4. 1, 2, 3, and 4, these verses reveal that after the first resurrection, when we rise up to meet Jesus Christ in the clouds, in our glorified, perfected body, we continue, and we accompany Jesus Christ to heaven for some period of time, which spans the entire duration of the seven final plagues. Now let's hear it. Then I saw in heaven, this is Revelation 15, verse 1, then I saw in heaven another marvelous event of great significance. Seven angels were holding the seven last plagues. Now, the seven last plagues are the wrath of God. We're going to hear that shortly. So the great tribulation, that's the wrath of Satan. These seven last plagues are the wrath of God. It says seven angels were holding the seven last plagues, which would bring God's wrath to completion. Now notice, it refers to the seven last plagues as God's wrath. But the 42 months of the Great Tribulation, that's the time of Satan's wrath. That's the rule and reign of the Antichrist and the false prophet. Now, here in Revelation 15, again, John sees in heaven a marvelous event of great significance. Seven angels were holding the seven last plagues, which would bring God's wrath to completion. I saw before me what seemed to be a glass sea mixed with fire. So John, he sees heaven, and in heaven he sees the seven angels holding the seven last plagues. And when these plagues are poured out on the earth, that's when God's wrath on this present earth happens. But he sees another thing. In addition to these seven angels, he sees, and this is also discussed in Revelation chapter 5, this same glass sea. John sees it, Revelation chapter 4, when John first arrives in heaven and he's saying what he sees. He sees this glass sea, and now he's seeing in the future, I saw before me what seemed to be a glass sea mixed with fire. Now, this is in heaven, and he says, and on it stood all the people who had been victorious over the beast and his statue in the number representing his name. Now, what are we talking about? For every person, every Christian who endures the Great Tribulation for any length of time. So some people will endure it for a day, right? Some will endure it for 30 days. Some will endure it for a year. Some will endure the entire 42 months of the Great Tribulation. But no matter what the length of your endurance is, this is what you're going to be doing after the first resurrection. It says, I saw before me what seemed to be a glass sea mixed with fire, and on it stood all the people who had been victorious over the beast. In other words, all the people who were victorious over the Antichrist, because they failed, in other words, we really succeed by refusing to take the mark of the beast. We refuse the mark of the beast. We refuse to worship the statue of the beast. We are victorious over the number 666 representing his name. We, again, John says he's looking at this documentary he's being shown, and on the documentary he says in heaven he sees what? A glass sea mixed with fire. And who's there? And on it stood all the people who had been victorious over the beast and his statue and the number representing his name. So we're going to endure the Great Tribulation. We're going to participate in the first resurrection. That's the marriage of the Lamb. And then We're going to be standing in heaven. We're going to be standing in heaven, but we're not going to be standing there as disembodied spirits. We're going to be standing in heaven in our glorified bodies, the same body, the same type of body that Jesus Christ has right now. Now, Jesus Christ is in the same body that he's going to inhabit when he returns. It's a body suitable. It's suitable for a habitation in present heaven and on this present earth. So just in the same way that Jesus Christ can be in his glorified body in heaven right now, we're going to be in our glorified bodies in heaven after the first resurrection. Now, why are we going to be in heaven in our glorified bodies? It says, they were all holding harps that God had given them. This is the next verse. They were all holding harps that God had given them, and they were singing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. So I'm going to pause there. The lyrics to the song that we are going to sing are provided in verse 3 and 4 of Revelation 15. But the point that I want to make for us today, what I want us to be crystal clear on, is that after the first resurrection, which comes after the wrath of Satan, which is the great tribulation, after the first resurrection that follows believers, we will rise, we will continue to rise up in the air once we meet Jesus Christ, and we will be in heaven. Now, you might say, well, what are the other believers doing? Well, the other believers, certainly they have their own activities. The book of Revelation follows, for the most part, the specific activities of those who are here during the Great Tribulation for most of the prophecies. So don't be offended by that. You know, sometimes in Bible scripture, there's a focus on specific subgroups, a specific population of believers, not all believers. That's not negative. Now, this is very important for those of us who are going to endure the Great Tribulation to know what we're going to be doing after, that we have some rewards and exciting activities to look forward to. So for every person who endures the Great Tribulation, you're going to hold a harp that God gives you. God the Father is going to give you a harp. Now, this is not Nicole speculating. This is Nicole reporting exactly what Scripture says. It says they. Who's they? Every person who's victorious, in other words, every person who endures patiently for any length of time and who is victorious during the Great Tribulation, which is the wrath of Satan. So what are they, us, what are we going to get? They were all holding harps that God had given them, and they were singing the song of Moses. So we're going to sing the song of Moses. We're going to sing this song in heaven. It's a worship song. So we're going to worship God in heaven using a harp that God has given us, and we're going to sing this song. We're all going to be singing it together. Hallelujah. Now, what happens as we are in heaven, in our glorified bodies, those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, what's happening to those whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life on this present earth? So what about all the people who are utter failures on this present earth? In other words, they failed to participate in the first resurrection. So they never, ever became a part of God's forever family. So every person who's in God's forever family, we participate in the first resurrection. They don't participate in it. Well, what happens to them? Well, let's hear it. Revelation 15, verse 5 says, then I looked and saw that the temple in heaven, God's tabernacle, was thrown wide open. The seven angels who were holding the seven plagues came out of the temple. They were clothed in spotless white linen with gold sashes across their chests. Then one of the four living beings handed each of the seven angels a gold bowl filled with the wrath of God, who lives forever and ever. The temple was filled with the smoke from God's glory and power. No one could enter the temple until the seven angels had completed pouring out the seven plagues. Okay, now let's keep going. Revelation 16, then I heard a mighty voice from the temple say to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out on the earth the seven bowls containing God's wrath. Now, when God's wrath is poured out, it's described right here, we are in heaven. Every believer who has participated in the first resurrection is in heaven. We don't have an account of all the activities of all believers, but specifically, we know that all believers are in heaven, and those who are in the group of believers who endure for any length of time the Great Tribulation, we know some of the activities that we're going to engage in. Now, let's talk about, let's hear what's happening on this present earth as we are in heaven. So this is the wrath of God on the present earth after the Great Tribulation, after the first resurrection, which happens subsequent to the Great Tribulation. So that's the order of things. The Great Tribulation, the first resurrection, then the wrath of God as believers are in our glorified bodies in heaven. This is what happens to those who remained on this earth. Here it is. It says, so the first angel left the temple and poured out his bowl on the earth, and horrible malignant sores broke out on everyone who had the mark of the beast and who worshipped his statue. Then the second angel poured out his bowl on the sea, and it became like the blood of a corpse, and everything in the sea died. Then the third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and springs, and they became blood. And I heard the angel who had authority over all water saying, you are just, O Holy One, who is and who always was, because you have sent these judgments. So God is sending these judgments. Now, what does it say? Since they shed the blood of your holy people and your prophets, you have given them blood to drink. It is their just reward. So this is God's wrath for those who came against us believers during the Great Tribulation. Then verse 7 says, and I heard a voice from the altar saying, yes, O Lord God the Almighty, your judgments are true and just. Then the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, causing it to scorch everyone with its fire. Everyone. Now remember, on this present earth, everyone includes only those who failed to make the first resurrection, because all believers, we are in heaven in our glorified bodies. It says, then the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, causing it to scorch everyone with its fire. Everyone was burned by this blast of heat, and they cursed the name of God who had control over all these plagues. They did not repent of their sins and turn to God and give him glory. Now, I want to pause there and give you proof, more proof, that believers, we are in heaven. We are in heaven as this is happening. I'm going to go to the seven seals prophecy in the book of Revelation. So you just heard that everyone is going to be scorched by the heat of the sun. They're going to be burned by the sun during the wrath of God. And if we look in Revelation chapter 7, it says, then he said to me, these are the ones who died in the great tribulation. They have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb and made them white. This is why they stand in front of God's throne and serve him day and night in his temple. Then in verse 16, talking about them, it says, they will never be scorched by the heat of the sun. They will never be scorched by the heat of the sun. Okay, let's go back to the seven final plagues. It says, then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom was plunged into darkness. His subjects ground their teeth in anguish, and they cursed the God of heaven for their pains of sores. So they're clear that at this point they know that the Antichrist is not the God of heaven, because the Antichrist is not able to heal them from the cancerous sores that they have in their mouth that God gave them because they took the mark of the beast, because they have made themselves an enemy of God by choosing to reject the invitation to be adopted into God's family, and instead they choose to remain in Satan's family and to be a child of Satan. So it says, then the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great Euphrates River, and it dried up so that the kings of the east could march their armies toward the west without hindrance. And I saw three evil spirits that looked like frogs leap from the mouths of the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. So that's Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet, the final pope. And it says, they are demonic spirits who work miracles and go out to all the rulers of the world to gather them for battle against the Lord on that great judgment day of God the Almighty. So Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet will all be possessed by demonic spirits that do miracles. So they're going to be performing miracles. Verse 14 says they are demonic spirits. These three demonic spirits come from the mouth of Satan, the Antichrist, and the final pope. Then verse 15 says, look, this is Jesus speaking. Verse 15 says, look, I will come as unexpectedly as a thief. Blessed are all who are watching for me, who keep their clothing ready so they will not have to walk around naked and ashamed. Then verse 16 says, and the demonic spirits gathered all the rulers and their armies to a place with the Hebrew name Armageddon. Now let me pause and mention this. So the Bible reveals in Revelation 19 that when Jesus Christ returns to the Battle of Armageddon, he's bringing with him the armies of heaven and all of his holy people. That means you and me. So, yes, we will be in heaven for some period of time after we participate in the marriage of the Lamb, but we're coming back for the Battle of Armageddon to watch it. Now, Jesus Christ and the armies of heaven, they're going to fight and win the Battle of Armageddon, but we're going to watch it. That's in Revelation chapter 19, verses 6 to 21. But before we get to the Battle of Armageddon, which is when we return to this present earth, verse 17 says, then the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a mighty shout came from the throne in the temple, saying, it is finished. Then the thunder crashed and rolled, and lightning flashed, and a great earthquake struck, the worst since people were placed on the earth. The great city of Babylon, that's the headquarters for the harlot church, the one world religion, that's Rome, the great city of Babylon split into three sections, and the cities of many nations fell into heaps of rubble. So God remembered all of Babylon's sins. That's the headquarters for the harlot church during the Great Tribulation. That's Rome. So God remembered all of Babylon's sins, and he made her drink the cup that was filled with the wine of his fierce wrath. And every island disappeared, and all the mountains were leveled. There was a terrible hailstorm, and hailstones weighing as much as 75 pounds fell from the sky onto the people below. They cursed God because of the terrible plague of the hailstorm. Hallelujah. So, what have we confirmed using Bible scripture today? We have confirmed that the wrath of Satan is a time of great persecution for God's holy people. It's 42 months. It's the Great Tribulation. We are instructed by the Word of God to endure persecution patiently during the Great Tribulation. We are also instructed that we will stand in heaven, those of us who endure the Great Tribulation. We will stand in heaven, and we will receive from God the Father a harp. And we will use that harp, instrument of praise for our holy God. We will sing the song of Moses in heaven. We will stand in heaven enjoying the pleasure of God, enjoying worship of God, enjoying fellowship with God and Jesus Christ, enjoying fellowship with all who are in the forever family of God as the wrath of God is poured out on this present earth. It is a time for those who are the children of Satan, those who have taken the mark of the beast, and indeed we are not appointed to God's wrath. We are appointed to carry out the plans and purposes of God. Hallelujah. So, friend and truth seeker, you will be victorious if you are in Christ and you remain faithful. Do not fear. Be encouraged. The first resurrection is going to happen. Every person who is in Jesus Christ is assured eternal life, which includes participation in the first resurrection after the Great Tribulation, and it includes ruling and reigning with Jesus Christ on this present earth after the Battle of Armageddon is fought and won, and eternal life on the new earth to come. Thank you so much for being with me and with us today. We're going to continue discussion and analysis of the Book of Revelation on Thursday at 8 p.m. Texas time. I'm sorry, 8 p.m. Eastern time, that's 7 p.m. Texas time. If you haven't done so yet, according to Jeremiah 33:3, I urge you, call out to God. He promises to show you great and mighty secrets that you do not know. Until next time, truth seeker and friend, God bless you.